Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. From the wars we wage, the acts passed by Congress, to the executive orders signed, we need to begin to recognize that we are a land of lawless action today, dressed up as one of the people. We must see today that the people no longer hold sway over this process, if they ever did. As always, the topic of reform is summoned when an issue gains negative attention, and history has shown that this almost always means the codifying of the very laws being broken or abused. The Patriot Act is a perfect example, and now we see the FISA extension and how its reform means, at the very least, more of the same. So to begin today, before we get into the news, let's take a look at the moral outrage stories of the week designed to distract you from the larger issues at play. Now, it's important before we get into these that this does not mean that these stories are not real or important, as they are, and they're quite disturbing. But it's important to realize that these are being used and rather pushed forward with the intention of creating moral outrage so we fail to look at the larger issues. Now, clearly the first one I'm sure everyone's already aware of is what's going on with Donald Trump and his statements about Haiti. And again, this is something that, and first of all, the statements were made, and now Donald Trump is saying that they're being taken out of context or he didn't say them. Either way, it shouldn't matter. The point is, this is nonsense. This is information that is not relevant to what's really going on in the world. And this is headline news for all of mainstream media. It's, again, it is important that the president would say things like this, but not important enough to take away from the things that are happening overseas and the larger issues at play today. So this is one that I think is intentionally being pushed forward to keep us from looking at other things. The one last week, for instance, would have been, say, the teacher that got pulled out of the classroom and arrested, which I think, again, was a very important story, but not enough to trump all of the other topics. Now, the next one I want to talk about is one that is, it's interesting. Now, many might not have seen this yet, but I'm arguing that this will probably get pushed to the front over the next week. There was a woman who was essentially pushed out of a hospital and left to stand in the 30-degree weather in a gown, bleeding, clearly having issues, and just left on the street. And a man was walking by and filmed her and basically was outraged by it. And again, it outraged me. I thought it was disgusting. Regardless of the larger story behind it, whether she was a nuisance or whether she was just trying to, you know, take advantage, the point is that the humanity is not there. This just goes to the larger issue of the lack of compassion in these larger industries, even hospitals, which are supposed to be revolving around that idea. But ultimately, my point with these two stories is that they're meant to distract you from the larger issues. And again, not because they're not real or important, but simply because they're going to be pushed to the forefront to cover and eclipse the larger issues. So starting with the news from yesterday, the first story I'd like to get into is entitled, Israel Keeps Bombing Syria and Nobody is Doing Anything About It, coming out of the antimedia.org. We discussed the recent attack on Damascus, and still, mainstream media has not addressed this as we predicted. Israel has hit Syria territory over 100 times since the conflict began in 2011. It has also openly talked recently about bombing Lebanon as well. Each of these conflict theaters is aimed at containing Iran's expanding influence. That's a very important aspect to keep in mind. Striking the territory of a sovereign nation is not only an act of war, it is completely illegal without authorization from the UN unless it has been done in self-defense, which this absolutely has not been. Now, if this is a story that is going to continue to be absent in mainstream media simply because Israel is a major ally of the United States, if not the leading ally of the United States. And as well as the fact that the United States is carrying out just the exact same kind of illegal actions, actually occupying territory, as Israel is as well, within Syria. But it's interesting that we're seeing this carry out after the fact, after Russia and United States have seemingly abandoned their efforts within Syria, and Israel is still openly bombing a sovereign nation, and nothing is being done about it. We need to continue to talk about this and continue to force it into the front to get past some of these moral outrage stories that are dominating the headlines. Moving on to the next story, yesterday was quite a roller coaster for those new to the crypto ups and downs. First, we saw news coming out stating that South Korea had readied ban on cryptocurrency trading as police and tax agency raid exchanges. And this was very damaging news to the markets. Things dramatically dropped, and we actually saw raids taking place, or as the news was saying, there's a lot of argument on the story, whether it was fake news or manipulation, but this did get reported broadly about the idea that this was happening and that bans were taking place. There is legislation on the books in South Korea trying to make this stuff happen. But as we noted, there's resistance on this within the South Korean government from the start, as the Ministry of Finance refused to support the cryptocurrency trading ban. So that's very important. And to me, this stands out as a real story. I do think this is a real story and not a fake idea. But the question is whether or not this is meant to be manipulated. So then later on in the day, we saw crypto surge as South Korea backs away from trading ban. And then we saw a surge back in the crypto markets. And the reason behind this backing away is they were claiming they had no idea of the impact of banning crypto and just how much damage it would do to the nation's wealth. Now, this could have been a stunt all along, but to me, this seems like an attack on the decentralization revolution. And in this case, we won the battle, but the war is just beginning. And that's something we have to remember. This is not the last we are going to see of this. But this should serve to show us just how serious this movement truly is and how it will not be stopped, and just how afraid they truly are of this movement. So we must continue to stand behind the cryptos that lead this charge in regard to decentralization and peer-to-peer exchanges. We must use our consumer power to support the things that are most important, the real ideas, and get away from the efforts of trying to fold this into the current financial system. But again, this just to me stands out as an outright attack on this movement. And whether or not this was a manipulation, which you could see a clear argument for that we did see drops in the market. You know, maybe this was meant to drop the market so people could jump in and buy up a lot of crypto, but it didn't drop dramatically. There was a large drop, but I think what this shows us is that people that are truly invested in this movement, and even just invested for financial reasons, are not going to get scared away by some kind of government action. This has shown us generally that this is larger than any one government's actions. This is a worldwide movement that ultimately at this point can't be stopped. So moving on in more outrageous news, $830 million in missing helicopters, $21 trillion in mysterious items as first ever DOD audit begins. So apparently in an initial Army audit, they have already found 39 UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, $830 million plus, that were not adequately recorded in the property system. Quote, the Air Force identified 478 structures and buildings at 12 installations that were not in its real property system. In other words, these helicopters were simply missing on the books. Also, in a recent report, the U.S. military lost some 44,000 troops across the globe in a country location labeled unknown, which now this, to me, that stands out as just secret ops, black ops. But again, it's interesting that we don't know this stuff. In addition, Mark Skidmore, a professor of economics at MSU specializing in public finance, found the Department of Defense and Housing and Urban Development may have spent as much as $21 trillion on mysterious items between 1998 and 2015. Now, there's plenty of arguments that will immediately come out around this, saying that, you know, these are necessary aspects of the military-industrial complex and defense of the country. But to me, this just really stands out as the fact that we don't really know what's going on. And we never really will know what's going on. And that is very unnerving to me. I mean, truly, we don't understand. I mean, on the surface level, to see what this country has been responsible for, just say in the past 20 years, just decimating countries and carrying out geopolitical imperialistic efforts, to not really know where this is being spent, it's quite unnerving to me. And also because this has been resisted for a very long time. So this is something we need to pay attention to, continue to spread, as all of these stories. But this is one that really stands out to show us that we don't know what's going on. And they're going to continue to hide this stuff from us at all costs. So moving on to the news from today, an update on a story we recently covered that was heralded as fake news by many. An article entitled, Another Step Towards Armageddon. The Pentagon has now prepared a nuclear posture review at NPR that gives the okay to development of smaller, usable nuclear weapons and permits their use in response to a non-nuclear attack. So really, this is one just to quickly skim over because we talked about this recently. But what we need to understand is this is very real. And we must continue to speak out about how much we disagree with this and make sure all are aware this is not some hypothetical idea. They're literally trying to find ways to actually use nuclear weapons and create smaller ones so it can be used without the effect of the entire world, which still, I would argue, is not possible, especially because we know that any act of nuclear war is going to be retaliated against. But this is a very scary story that needs to really be spread and make sure that those people that think this is fake news are aware that this is very much happening and that this is a step that, I mean, even the idea, even throwing this out there and Trump discussing this is going to trigger the same actions by other countries that, even if Trump is lying, are going to take him at his word. And that is a very unnerving prospect. Moving on to other geopolitical news, actually coming out of geopoliticsalert.com. Houthis released 200-plus coup plotters and issue anti-human trafficking laws. So you wouldn't know it from reading mainstream media's take on Yemen, but their government has granted amnesty to over 200 coup plotters and initiated anti-human trafficking reforms. Yemeni state news agency Sabah reported on Wednesday that the Yemeni government, controlled by the Houthis, has released 209 political prisoners. The Houthis arrested these detainees following a failed coup in December of 2017. Marking International World Trafficking Day, they also issued a new anti-human trafficking law comprised of 45 articles and 7 chapters. So while Saudi Arabia remains one of the largest perpetuators of human trafficking and a major U.S. ally, Yemen is taking positive steps to stop this issue and is currently the focus of joint U.S.-Saudi war campaign. So ask yourself why that is. To me, that stands out as very suspicious. But really, the larger point to make here is why Yemen is the focus right now, and the U.S. is very aware of this, with U.S. troops on the ground, the focus of genocide at this point. And yet the Saudis, who are responsible for much worse, who actually perpetuate human trafficking and basically the worst of human rights abuses that we claim to be fighting all around the world, and yet instead the Yemenis are the focus of this effort. It really stands out as wildly hypocritical, but so does a lot of U.S. foreign policy. And the final story for today, Facebook introducing sweeping changes will prioritize only trustworthy news sites. This coming out of ZeroHedge.com. This is an interesting story. They recently stopped their efforts to flag fake news as they realized it was only making people read it more, which is a very revealing insight to understand how people's minds work today. Not only that they don't trust the mainstream media and Facebook in general, but they would actually jump to the conclusion that if they're flagging it as fake news, it probably means it's real, which is kind of a hopeful prospect to me. I mean, I think this really shows that they saw they couldn't control us by simply saying, don't look at this. James Corbett did a really good video on this. And now we're seeing this new effort to come out and essentially try the same thing all over again, kind of packaged in a new way. And this is just another effort in blatant censorship. And really, regardless of how they frame this, this is going to be them stopping stories they don't agree with for ideological reasons or political reasons and perpetuating the ones that they deem to be trustworthy. Of course, these never go on to discuss how and who will determine what's trustworthy. It's just an absurd prospect. And it always comes back to censorship. And it's always important to note that Facebook is a private company, so they have the right to do these. And I note on this every time, but in a company like Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or Google in general, they're so large and have such a monopoly on what's going on today that they have a responsibility to maintain certain constitutional rights of everybody that's on there. I mean, specifically Americans when we're discussing constitutional rights. But the point is, this is absolute censorship because Facebook understands that they can control our perspectives and influence our beliefs. And they've actually done studies and shown this. And Facebook has actually carried out secret, surreptitious activities behind the scenes that they revealed later, where they would manipulate what showed up in your feed and then basically read your reactions. And that's a very scary idea. But so adding censorship to that, more censorship, I should say, because we're already seeing it happen, is kind of the future of social media. So again, we can end with a rally to find other alternatives, whether that be Steemit or BitChute or DTube or any of these alternative ideas. And also, it's important to note that these alternatives I just discussed, besides BitChute, actually pay you cryptocurrency to participate. So regardless of your perspectives on cryptocurrency, Facebook doesn't do anything like that. Now, I did see in a recent story that Facebook is considering adding cryptocurrency and doing the same kind of thing. And I would argue that's simply to try to combat this same reason that they're failing to a lot of degree. So we have noted a lot of the millennial generation has been kind of straying away from Facebook. But ultimately, the story revolves around censorship. So it's important to take note of this, spread this information, and continue to find alternative routes to spread your information. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites that we listed in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.